My participation in a kingdom is not just about planting a flag on a hill and declaring a banner and waving a banner and saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. My declaring my allegiance to a kingdom is not about grabbing the Christian flag and making laps around here and walking up and down the street with it and preaching. And that's not what declaring the kingdom of God means. But when I declare that I am of the kingdom of God, I am declaring my intention to advance his kingdom in the earth. That's my declaration. I don't know about you today, but I am a part of the kingdom of God. I want to be identified with the kingdom of God, and I want my actions, my words, and the things that I do to be an advancement of his kingdom. You know how quickly things can turn from me advancing his kingdom to building my own? It happens so fast. Just a few Sundays ago, I talked a little bit about what happens when it turns into me and my, and when it's not him getting the glory, when it's not him getting the praise. The minute it becomes about me, I begin to build my kingdom. My name, my reputation becomes my kingdom. But when I'm advancing the kingdom of God, I'm always speaking of his kingdom. And whatever I'm doing is bringing him glory. It's not to me. I'm not being glorified in anything. I'm bringing him glory. I want to share a few scriptures with you here today. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about the kingdom. It's probably not the talk on the kingdom you were thinking. I want to talk about the kingdom and money. Is that all right? Oh, I just got uncomfortable. Do you think that God cares about finances in connection to his kingdom? You know, the scripture gives us some insight into the kingdom of God and what it means to be part of the kingdom of God. I've shared these scriptures before, and I've not had a liberty to share it in depth yet, but I still continue to pray and to read and to study these scriptures. But there's portions of scripture in the New Testament, in the Gospels, where the Lord specifically states, "And the kingdom of heaven is likened unto." And the kingdom of heaven is likened unto. And there's all these different analogies and illustrations that he uses to compare the kingdom of God spiritually in the natural sense. He uses a natural illustration to describe a spiritual setting and situation with regard to the kingdom. And so one of those such is found in Matthew chapter 25. And it's what the scripture calls the parable of the three servants, Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14. But we're not going to go there first. I want to go to 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, and I want to begin reading at verse 8, if they would be so kind as to throw the scripture up there so that we could read it together. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 8. The scripture says there, "And the word of the Lord came unto him," him being Elijah, "saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." Everybody say, "I have commanded." "I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." Now I'm going to ask you one quick question here. Does it sound to you like they took up an offering? Does it sound to you like they passed the plate around? No, the word of the Lord came to the prophet. Now, you got to understand his situation here. He was currently holed up by the brook. And the scripture tells us that there were ravens that were feeding him. He was getting water from the brook. Ravens were bringing him food for his meals to sustain him. That was obviously the sustenance of God. because I, in all my 37 years of life here on this earth, have never once been able to control a bird. In fact, I struggle even to get ducks to listen to me when I try to imitate them and trick them into coming into my spread of decoys. I've never been able to command an animal. Men try all kinds of things with different animals to call them in and to mimic them and to lure them into traps. But you find here in Scripture where birds begin to feed a man. They begin to bring sustenance to him at the commandment of God. But then the word of God comes to him and tells him, get up and go to Zarephath. And when you get to Zarephath, I have commanded. Everybody say commanded. Not optioned, but commanded a widow there to sustain thee. Verse 10 says, so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. Now, something that I want to talk about here for a minute. We have the foresight because the scripture tells us that the Lord had commanded her. She already knew that Elijah was coming. She already knew the role that she was to play in his life, that she was to sustain him. And you see their first encounter, she doesn't even question him. This is in a time of drought, and he says, go get me a drink of water. And I don't know if she, I mean, there was no pushback from her regarding that request. She just turned and went to go get him water. With her foreknowledge of knowing that he was coming and being commanded by the Lord, set up by the Lord, ordained by the Lord to sustain the man of God, the prophet. I don't know if in her mind she thought, oh, this is all I got to do is provide him water. I got plenty of water. And she turned to go get him water, but then he stops her. And he says, hey, make me a little cake too. And that's when the brakes went on. She says, I have not a cake. All I have is a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. What happens when you receive a command of the Lord to participate in his kingdom at some level? And what you have in your possession and what you have in a word from God doesn't match. Because that's where the widow was. She received a word. The word came to pass. The prophet showed up. And he asked her for everything that she had left. She said, I'm gathering two sticks. I got a handful of meal. And in her own words, she says, I'm going to prepare this, eat it, and die. That's it. Not by a show of hands. I'll admit, I've never been close to dying from starvation. But I have had my food run short, coming up to a payday once or twice in life. I have had my bank account read zero with a couple days till payday. I've lived there. I've been through that. And the Lord giving her a word. I'm trying to help you identify with where she's at. She doesn't know what the future holds. She simply has a little bit of meal that she plans to prepare for herself and her son. And this is the end. She doesn't know how long she's going to last after this. And the man of God, with a command from God, is saying, make me a meal first. Go to verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me. After that, make for thee and thy son. And she went, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. Verse 16. and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, which, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. So she's commanded by God to participate in a operation in the kingdom. Her sustenance, what she has in her hands, doesn't match the word of God. But the word that comes from the prophet when he arrives is, make me a meal first, because the Lord's promised me that he's not going to allow the meal to run dry and he's not going to allow the oil to run out until these days are over. And we know the end of the story, that the Lord provided and the meal did not run out. And he sustained her and all, the scripture says, all that were in her house and the prophet. Now, Mark chapter 12. Let's jump to the New Testament here. I'm going to read in verse 41 through 44, if that makes it easier for you guys in the back there. Verse 41 says, Jesus, let's read in the KJV real quick. Mark 12, 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. Everybody say much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Here's what the New Living Translation says. Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. Many rich people put in large amounts. Then a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions, for they gave a tiny part of their surplus. But she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. We begin to see Jesus taking opportunity here to teach his disciples something about kingdom finances. Because there were those marching by that day who had much, they had surplus, and so they were coming and they were dropping multiple coins in. And I don't know what it sounded like in the temple treasury, but there must have been a lot of clinging and clanging and the sound of coins pouring in, and boy, they looked around to make sure there were a lot of people watching when they dropped all that in and just kept pouring it and pouring it and pouring it. No, do you hear that? Do you hear that? And Jesus is standing nearby watching, and while all that's going on, one moves on and the next comes, and everybody looks to see how much is this one going to put in, and clink, clink. And surely that wouldn't catch anybody's attention, because all we're paying attention to is how much is being poured in. But Jesus stops the whole procession. He calls his disciples over and says, hey, check that out. I can imagine the look on the disciples' faces of, what do you want to talk about? She dropped two coins. Did you see the last guy? He had men carrying his bags. Did you see the guy before? Jesus said, yes. Yeah, I saw that, but they were just giving some of their surplus. She gave everything she had to live on. Are you seeing a pattern here? Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 25. This is where I want to draw your attention to today. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14. We're going to read through verse 30, just so you know back there. Matthew 25, 14 through 30. We'll read some of these in the KJV, and then we'll jump around a little bit. Everybody say, the kingdom of heaven. He's given us insight into his kingdom. This is how his kingdom works. This is God's financial system. This isn't the world's financial system. You see, we live, we coexist, we have to coexist in the world's financial system. Most of us, most of our money is in a bank. Most of us have a debit card or some cash. Most of us probably have a 401k or some sort of a savings account. Maybe it's given to us, or maybe we have to put into it on a monthly basis. But we all participate in the world's financial system. There may be one or two in the room, or maybe you know of somebody that still puts their money in their mattress. And they take all their paper bills and they buy gold bars and bury them in the backyard. Maybe you know some people like that because they don't want to be associated with the world's money system. It's not from a kingdom standpoint. It's merely from a standpoint of fear. And there's people on mainstream media that propagate that fear. You better be buying gold. You better be. No, you better be participating in the kingdom financial system. Because the kingdom financial system is going to outlast all of them. And so Jesus begins to give us some insight. He says the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Now, you have to read every single piece of this story as though it's you're understanding the kingdom of heaven. This isn't just Jesus telling another fairy tale. This isn't Jesus telling a good night story to the disciples. This is him giving insight into his thought process. This is how I think. This is how I operate. This is how my kingdom should function. He called his own servants. He delivered unto them his goods. Verse 15 says, and unto one he gave $5, and to another $2, and to another $1. Or $5,000 and $2,000, or $5 million and $2 million, or $5 billion and $2 billion. I don't know what he gave them. I don't know. I don't understand the talents. I know it was silver. He gave them some weight of money. But he basically, the New Living Translation says that he began to divvy up his money, all of his possessions. He began to divvy up his financial resources, and he placed it in the hands of his servants. Every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Well, first, let's read this in the New Living Translation. He said, verse 14 says, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to the other, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. He took his resources and he passed it out to different people. I don't know what the master saw, or I don't know what Jesus was trying to necessarily portray by giving 1 5, 1 2, 1 into 1 1. He obviously said that he did it according to their abilities. Their ability to what? Their ability to be trusted with it. Their ability to do something with it. But he gives every single one of them a piece. Remember, he's talking about his kingdom. He gives every single one of them his piece, and then he leaves. Verse 16. Then he that had received the 5 talents, he went and traded with the same. He got the stock market. Right? He went and put it into a money market account because it was ridiculous not to take that much money and put it in a money market account. Put some more of it, you know, he split it up. He didn't put it all in stocks, but some in bonds and, you know, futurities, and bought a couple of bonds, you know, government bonds. He did all these things. He divided it up, made sure he invested it wisely.
because this was his master's money. He's going to take good care of it.
And made them other 5 talents. I'm being facetious today, so follow me here. We're talking about the kingdom of God. We're not talking about the kingdom of this world. What I just described is how we would see the kingdom of this world. If God came to us today and said, I'm going to give you $5 million, what would you do with it? Would you run to the stock market? Would you run to the investment banker? Hey, I've got this sum of money. It'd be ridiculous not to do something with it. Put it in safe, you know, slow growing stocks. I don't want to lose it. Or would my approach be, Father, this was yours. You put this in my possession. I don't understand. For the guy who got 4 bags of silver, I don't know why you put 4 bags of silver in my possession, but you obviously did it for a purpose. And what is the purpose for me having this? I want to find it out, and I'm going to put it to good use in your kingdom. If God has provided for you, if God has blessed you, if he's put something in your possession, have you asked him yet why he put that in your possession? Bishop asked, he told us about a simple question he asked. I could pick on Brother Tolbert today because he's not here. He asked Brother Tolbert a simple question a few months ago. Do you know why? You ask God why you're building an airplane hangar for one of the richest men in the world. Why did you get selected to go on that job? Why? What is it that God is doing? What is he wanting to funnel through you? Forgive me. I'm operating from a understanding here that maybe I haven't brought you into, okay? Do you believe today that everything is the Lord's? Do you believe today that the Lord lacks for nothing? Do you believe today that he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? Do you believe today that all, you know, people say, oh, that's oil money. Do you believe that the Lord owns it all? Do you believe that every resource that's in this world, he created? Every natural resource belongs to him. Yes, he allows men to find it and discover it, but it all belongs to him. How many times I've heard of individuals who just stumbled into things, just fell into something. I don't even know how it happened. It just happened. And then usually the story that follows is, and then I just begin to give into the kingdom. You see, in the natural sense, it's so difficult living in 2 separate worlds. I'm telling you. You know, some of you, I've talked this about on a personal level, but I remember the day that I had to make the decision a few years ago not to purchase health insurance for my kids and my wife. It was ridiculously expensive. I couldn't afford it. And I remember coworkers coming in, pulling me in when they found out I had rejected the company's policy. They had come in and said, now, we know you're a smart guy. Because, you know, it'd been easy to cut back on my kingdom giving and been able to afford it. They said, now, we know you're a smart guy, but you're not making a wise decision. Customers, I would sit down and talk to them. They would just talking about the weather, eating lunch, talking about different things, and they consider themselves wise business people, and they would say to me, you don't have health insurance on your kids? What's wrong with you? That's ridiculous. And fear and anxiety would begin to grip me, and I'd walk away from there, and I'd get in my truck, and I would say, oh, God, please release me from this. Forgive me of this, because I don't want this. I got to trust you. I got to put my confidence in you. My confidence is in you. My hope is in you. But this is the avenue that the world works from. I had a customer tell me the other day, I'm going to be careful about what I say, because he's found these recordings and he started listening to them. He knows who he is. He was talking about money. He said, if you're not buying stocks every day, you're an idiot. And he pulled up his Yahoo stock report and he said, I bought this one at this and I bought this at this and I bought this at this. And I thought to myself, yep, and my treasure is not on this earth. I'm not storing up treasure on earth where moth and rust can corrupt it. But my treasure's in heaven. Because that's where my heart is. That's where my passion is. It's in the advancement of his kingdom. Amen. And so I'm speaking today from a perspective that everything belongs to him. And if he has a need, I'm talking about his kingdom has a need, Brother Mason. If his kingdom and participants in his kingdom have a need, he's well aware of it, and he is arranging players and putting people in place to facilitate the need, to sustain the players in the kingdom, his pieces. So am I going to be one of those players? Or will I sit on the sideline and hear the testimonies of players in the game, in the kingdom, people participating in kingdom economics? If you didn't get to catch Sister Mason's testimony in Kent a couple of weeks ago, or you didn't get to listen the few weeks before that here on a Wednesday night, go look the recordings up and listen to them. People participating in kingdom economics. Not this world's economics. The world would look at you and say, you're crazy. But the kingdom economics say, God is my source. He's my provider. He said, take no thought for these things. He said, you can worry about this all you want, but who by worrying can add one inch to his stature? He clothes the lilies of the field. He's aware of every sparrow that falls. He knows the number of hairs on my head, but he forgot that there's no food in my cupboard. No. He's aware. Verse 17. And likewise, he that received two, he also gained other two. But he that received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. We're going to get to that in a few minutes. Keep going. Verse 19. After a long time, everybody say a long time. A long time had passed. Brother Randy, a long time. Cometh and he reckoneth with them. I don't know what the master thought he was going to get back. But we're not concerned with the master. We're talking about the kingdom, right? The king of the kingdom came back one day after a long period of time of his distribution, his pouring in, and his causing. Are you ready for this? His causing of the talents to double. I'll let that sink in for a minute. There's nothing in this world that I can do with my finances to make them double, increase, triple, quadruple. 500%. There's nothing in this world that I can do. There's no financial planner in this world that would even be crazy enough to tell you that you could get a guaranteed 5 to 10% on your money. Nobody. But God, with those participating in kingdom economics, who are willing to invest his resources back into his kingdom. Oh, my goodness. You would not believe the returns in the kingdom market. You would not believe in the kingdom Dow Jones and industrial. You would not believe the returns in my kingdom money market account. So he causes. This is the king. This isn't a funny story. This is the king. In his kingdom, he says, he took and he doubled it. Verse 20. 21. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Wow. Our entire world today is looking for an increase, Brother Reuter. Everyone's an increase. We're coming up on the end of the year. Year-end reviews, and everybody's looking for an increase. Everybody's wanting some sort of raise. Cola. They're looking for raises based on their good performance. They're looking for all these things. Looking for an increase. I've been working hard. I put a lot into this place. I want something in return. But in the kingdom economic system, the king says, he who's in charge of the resources says, oh, you've been faithful over what I did give you. He does a review. Oh, it's not a review like your boss does. He does a review of what have you done with what I've given you. Oh, you would like to have more? Oh, God, bless me. Oh, God, cause my boss to give me a raise. Oh, God, make my... I've prayed those prayers before. God, you know my reviews tomorrow. Give me grace in the eyes of this man that I'm going to sit in front of, and give me grace and cause him. But in the kingdom economics, and I step back and realize, wait a minute, who's reviewing what? Oh, my boss is reviewing my performance. Who cares? But the king, whose kingdom I'm participating in, he's reviewing my performance also. What have you done with what I've given you? You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to give you much. Verse 22. He also had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. Got one word for you. Fear. Fear. Oh, God, you've given me this. Let me use my iPhone. God, you gave me this. You only gave me 1 of them. You gave the cool 5. He's got 1 on each finger. He serves 5 things at 1 time. He gave me 1. And I'm so afraid this is going to be the last one I ever see. So I'm just going to hide it right here. You're going to be proud of me when you come back. And I'm going to have 1 in case I need it right here. Fear. Do you not trust the Lord? Do you not trust his ability to supply? The one who created this, gave this to me, supplied it to me. He's got 1,000,000 more where this one came from. And so why are you so afraid of losing this one? Why can't you trust him and release that one into the kingdom? And say, here it is. It's the only one I got. And it sustains me. My whole life is wrapped up in this thing. Somebody takes this. Everything's gone. All my contacts, all my email, everything's gone. It's destroyed. I live on this thing. Thank God it's on the cloud now. Pictures of my kids all the way back to their births, holding my daughter in the hospital, and all this is so precious. This is so precious to me. It's all I have, and I can't risk losing it because it's my lifeline, so I'm going to hold on to it, or I can... Father, I believe there's more where that came from. And I believe that you're using me as a conduit. Everybody here know what a conduit is? I'm in the electrical industry, so I don't want to assume you know what a conduit is. A conduit's a raceway. It allows things to pass through it. Wires pass through it. They have electrical current. There's a conduit that runs from that light switch to that light up there that allows the power to pass through that conduit and turn that light on. The conduit has no other purpose than to allow passage of electricity through it. That's the sole purpose. The conduit can sit up there in the ceiling and say, well, you know, I'd like to keep some of that electricity for myself. So the next person that comes by here touches me, their light is lit up. Their life is lit up. I'd really appreciate that. Some of you could just drop some of that electricity off in. No, it's non-conductive. It's plastic. It has no other purpose than just to allow things to pass through it. That's its only purpose. It doesn't hold anything back. It doesn't restrict anything. Just passing through, passing through, passing through, passing through. So I can either be a conduit, or I can be a sponge. Sponges are great for washing dishes. They soak everything up that they can. You know what happens to sponges once they get everything soaked up they possibly can? I grab it and I squeeze it as hard as I can. I wring everything out of it I possibly can. We'll just let that sit right there for a minute. He goes on to say, verse 25, I was afraid and went and hid it in the earth. There thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked, wicked. Wait, I thought he was just playing it safe. I thought it was just, you know, it was okay. No, we called him wicked, slothful servant. Thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. You know, you, by your own admission, by your own mouth, you admitted that I have the ability to take everything. To say that I reap where I sow not is to say that everything is mine. You know all these things. Verse 27 says, thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. He said, you could at least put it in the stock market. You could at least put it in a money market account. You could have done something, but burying it in the ground? Verse 28. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The New Living Translation said it this way. You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have got some interest on it. Then he ordered, take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, to those who use well what they are given in his kingdom. He's not talking about in the earth. You know how many times I've said, oh God, make me a good steward over what you've given me. Help me to spend my money wisely. You know, the only wise way to spend money is in his kingdom. I go to the same stores you go to every weekend, every night. I try to be wise. I try to shop at Winco. And, you know, we're all looking for a good deal. We're all Americans here. We all live in America. We're looking for a good deal. You know, save a dollar. We're all going to go flying out the doors on Black Friday morning. Because we're going to get a deal on something. We love a good deal. I like going somewhere where I can get a car cheaper than I can get it somewhere else. I like going somewhere where I can, a restaurant where I can get a deal. Some of you like Groupon. Some of you like all these other little things. You like getting a deal. Nothing wrong with that. He's talking about his kingdom. I've asked God, God, make me a good steward over what you've given me. What's that mean? What's it mean to be a good steward? I've instead begun asking the Lord, show me how I can participate in kingdom economics. Show me how to participate in your kingdom financial system. That's what I want. I want to participate in his kingdom. I want what I'm doing to be furthering. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I get the picture from this that we've read together today that this is really important to God. Important. It's not important from a standpoint of, you better do this. No. He gives opportunity. What is he giving you? We're closing here. If the musicians want to come. I want you to close your eyes right now. I don't want your mind going a million different places. I want you to allow the Lord to talk to you. But I want to ask you some questions that I want you to think about while you and the Lord are talking to each other. What has he put in your possession? What has he given you? Where has he placed you? I look around this room and I see individuals who he's put in unbelievable situations. He's provided for you. He's put you in places of employment that are unbelievable. Things that by your own admission you say, I'm not sure how I ended up here, but God. Others of us that he's just made a way for day in and day out. So with what he's given you, as you're talking to him right now, what is he asking you to do in the kingdom? How is he asking you to participate in the kingdom? You see, we've got to somehow, and this is probably going to come across wrong, but just hear me out. We've somehow got to get beyond what's required. We get hung up on our tithe. All the church wants is my tithe. All the church wants is an offering. Forgive me, friend. This is so far beyond that. I'm talking about participation at a level that you can't, in your humanity, you can't imagine it. About just being a conduit, just allowing it to flow through you. I'm not talking about, well, I made some good decisions, I made some smart choices here, and I did this. I'm talking about just, it comes, it arrives, and you say, what? Okay. Back out. You've put me in this place. You've provided in this manner. You've chosen to use this as a resource right now. I don't even understand why. And so I'm going to look for every opportunity I can to simply just allow it to flow out of me. I don't want to dam this up. I'm going to be a river. I'm going to be a conduit. I just want it to flow, continue to flow out of me. That's what I'm talking about today. I want us to stand together.
As Brother Johnstone was speaking about the widow woman and the minister, the prophet of God, the obvious principle there was he was making an opportunity and sharing with us what he would do in the participation. And then we see the end of the story. What he did was a miraculous event. I felt some specifics in that. Why don't you sit just for a minute? This is kingdom principle, which we believe and teach and participate in on an ongoing basis. You who have been here for some time know we don't take a lot of special offerings. If we feel prompted to do something, we do something. We don't hound anybody for their tithe. We don't do any of that. And God has blessed us as an incorporation, as a body of believers. And we try to be stewards and how he leads and directs us. Okay? The specifics that I felt when he was sharing that story was this. And not to embarrass anybody or point out anybody, but the Masons are here. Okay? They're not here. We're not having a missionary service. They're having a baby. We're having it with them. We're participating in all these families' babies. And we have witnessed that the Lord has sent them here. And so they're here in this season. The Lord's directed us to participate in various ways. Okay? He hasn't asked me to sponsor him as a missionary or to, you know, sign a... what do we call those? A PIM. We have had no discussions about any of that. But I know they're traveling. They have need. And so I have felt that I think we want to do something in that area. When I say we want to do something, I'm going to ask the treasurer to do something. We're not going to receive an offering specific to them. Okay, I'm just making you aware of this is kind of how we operate. Now, did we mention Puerto Rico today in the offering? Okay, last week we said we would receive an offering for Puerto Rico last Sunday and this Sunday. And so just as a reminder, if you already did that today, that's fine. And you wanted, that was something you wanted to do. That's great. But the offering that was taken earlier, that is going to go to Puerto Rico. What I'm talking to you about right now is something entirely different. Because I had a witness in my spirit that the Lord is asking of us to engage in kingdom here today to a different degree, to a different level. I'm not talking about as a congregation. I'm talking about to every believer. I've already got direction personally for me off of my debit card. Okay? I'm not directing it specifically and saying, okay, you have to give this to this particular need. I'm just going to give it into the kingdom. Because I know that we function kingdom around here. Okay? Now, if you have a witness with this today and the things that you've been hearing, then you can participate at whatever level the Lord has directed you. I don't need to push you anything beyond that. I would like for the ushers to come again. You know, when people give to a specific need, those finances always go directly to that need. There's no, skimming off the top or doing anything to keep things running, because God has provided for that. This isn't about Life Church, what we're talking about here. This is about Ron Chamberlain. This is about you as an individual that I felt a prompting of the Lord. If you will have faith and engage now, then you watch my hand in your circumstances. He talked about those giving that had nothing to give. Man, I wish I had nothing right now. I'm not in that scenario. There is money in my checking account. I'm going to give from that. I wish I was one of those that was dead broke right now. I'd just take my wallet and stick it in the plate. Because what I heard from the Spirit of the Lord was, watch my hand work. I'm proving myself to you as an individual. Let me prove to you. I feel such a spirit of witness right now in this house. This is why we've never had to push. This is why we've never had to hammer. Freely you have received. Freely give. This is an invitation into something kingdom. Why don't we all stand? Lord, thank you. Thank you for talking to us today, leading us and inciting us to believe you, to be directed by you, not just in this assembling together, but in our lives, that you can lead and direct of the things that you place through our hands. We're thankful for this, Father. We're thankful, Father. Praise God.